Amen. Good morning. It is a blessing to be here and good to see each one of you out this morning. And if you want to make your way over to the book of Acts chapter 1, that's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to continue our series titled Power for the Impossible. Power for the Impossible. And it's a series on Acts chapter 1 that'll finish up with the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And in this series, we're looking at not only Jesus Christ and the teaching and the instruction that He offered to the church there before He ascended into heaven, but we'll also be looking at the power that the church had to carry out the commission that Jesus had given to them to carry out. You know, there's a story that I read several years ago about a high school that had career day. You know, a lot of high schools will have career day for their seniors where they can come and visit different or talk to different people representing different colleges or universities or careers or companies or so forth. And this high school had career day, and at the end of the career day, they finished it up in the auditorium, and they invited all the seniors to come in there, and several people that represented several different organizations and universities and companies and so forth were allowed to get up, and they were each given about 10 minutes where they could get up and they could speak to the seniors there and basically encourage them or direct them towards a career or help them find a career. Well, all of them, of course, took their turn, and several of them went over their time a little bit, went a little further than they were given. And the last person to speak was a Marine recruit who was there. He was the last one to step up, and by the time he got up, the man looked at him. He said, he goes, "I'm sorry." He goes, "You only have a few minutes." He goes, "Everyone, you used up the time." He goes, "Bell's about ready to ring, and everyone's going to head on out." And that Marine recruiter didn't say a word. He went to the podium, and for about 60 seconds, he just looked at the crowd. That's half his time. Looked at the crowd, and then he spoke, and he said, "I doubt whether there are two or three of you in this room who would even stand a chance in the Marine Corps." He said, "But I want to see those two or three right afterwards." Turned around, he sat down. He said he went into the dining hall, and there was a crowd waiting to talk to him. What it was is they were challenged. And I think he understood that when you challenge people, you can usually get them to respond. This morning, this message, of course, it's a challenge, but I want you to see how the church was challenged. The church was challenged to do God's work. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. The title of this message is "The Church Challenged." And they were challenged to take the gospel out to the world. Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 6. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Dear Lord, we come to you at this time thanking you for the blessings that you have given. Thank you for all that you have provided. I pray today as we look at this portion of Scripture, I pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct. I pray that you will provide the challenge that is needed for our hearts today. I pray that you will bless our church, but I also pray you'll challenge our church to follow the commission and follow the example of the apostles and of that first church. Please guide and direct in this message. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice first that the church was given the Great Commission. Now, there was a challenge that was given to these people. And this was what we call the Great Commission, or the Great Assignment, or the Great Task, whatever you want to call it. And what I want you to notice at the beginning is that Jesus turned their thoughts from curiosity to responsibility. How many of you are curious? I'm curious. Sometimes I guess it can get us into trouble. It can eat up our time because we're busy, because we're curious. Now, they were curious. They had asked Jesus. They said, "Hey, you know, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Is it now?" And what Jesus proceeded to do is he got their curiosity, I guess you'd say, he began to change it from that to responsibility. You see, they wanted to know when and why, and Jesus said, "Right now, you have some work to do." And so he directed them towards their responsibility. You know, many believers are more concerned with tomorrow than they are today. I challenge you this morning. Let's live today because that's what we have. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So let's live for God today. Let's be faithful today. Let's do what we can today. And yes, of course, on Sunday you're here, but tomorrow, if God would bless you with tomorrow, live tomorrow to its fullest for the Lord. Also, Jesus turned their thoughts from worldly matters to spiritual matters. You see, they were focused on this kingdom that they knew Jesus would establish because the Old Testament had prophesied that he would establish a kingdom and that he would reign on earth. And so they were concerned with temporal powers, what they were concerned with. You know, Jesus, are you going to establish his kingdom and we can rule with you? And Jesus directed them to focus on spiritual power. He said, now's not the time for the kingdom, but it's time for you to take the gospel out. And you will be empowered by the Spirit to reach out to those that are lost. You see, he directed them to focus on their task. You know, many believers are caught up with temporal struggles. What I mean by that is, you know, if we're not careful, we can put more attention on the things of the world than we do the things of God. We can focus more on the things of the world than we do the things of God. We can meditate and dwell upon the things of the world more than we do the things of God. Now, it's tempting, and often it's easy to get into that rut. We need to get our focus on the things of God and keep our focus on the things of God. You see, he challenged them to begin thinking about the spiritual work, about taking the gospel out to the world. Now, as far as the Great Commission this morning, we'll read a few other places here real quick to see where else it was given. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Here we find Jesus telling the apostles, and he gave them this commission. It's believed he gave this to them in Galilee, probably about a few days before he ascended into heaven. And this is Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." You know, the Great Commission was also given in the book of Mark. It's recorded, and it was given there in the upper room. And the book of John, it was given on the evening of the resurrection. He gave them the commission saying, "I'll send you out." So we find that the Great Commission was pretty much recorded in all four of the Gospels and in the book of Acts. And they were to go out and take the gospel to the world. Now keep in mind, these men and women too, because this is the first church, they were not left to improve the world, but they were left to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Now hear me out on this. Do you realize that sin was here when you arrived? The day you were born, this world was filled with sin. And your entire lifetime, sin will remain. And if the Lord doesn't return and you enter into the grave, do you realize sin will still be here? Yes, we're to take a stand for what is right. But it's not our responsibility to remove sin from this world. Jesus Christ will do that when he establishes the kingdom. He told these men and the first church, he said, your responsibility is to take the gospel out. So that way, sinners that are caught up in sin can be forgiven of their sin. And they can live a life that's right with God. You see, that's our responsibility. And if we're not careful, we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world so people can be saved. So they were to take the gospel out. They were not commissioned to change the world in any way. They were not commissioned to save the world as far as like the physical things of the world or the nation. But they were to present the gospel to every individual and then allow the Spirit to work in their hearts and pray for them and continue to take the gospel out. You know what Jesus did on that day? He directed them to their practical duties. As believers, we have practical responsibilities today. And that is to take the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And he turned their minds to their present work. He said, right now, you have to do this. The time is now to work. The time is now to take the gospel out. And so they were given the Great Commission. Secondly, I want you to notice that they would receive the great power that God promised so they could perform this work. And in verse 8 it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So they would receive power from the Holy Ghost. You know, the first church was not given power on earth. That belongs to God. Now keep that in mind. What I mean by that is believers are not all powerful. Churches are not all powerful. Only God is all powerful. What God promised the first church, and what he promised these men, was that they would receive the Spirit. And the power of the Spirit would work through them, would change their life, would empower them, give them the boldness they needed to do the work that God had called for them. See, the Spirit's energy would be directed to and through these men. You see, they were not to look to the Spirit so they could control the Spirit and tell the Spirit what to do. They were to look to the Spirit and then yield their life to the Spirit so the Spirit could work through them. Now, keep this in mind. I believe the Spirit already resided with these men. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 20. For most of you, that's probably just a page over in your Bible from Acts chapter 1. John chapter 20. And notice what it says in verse 21. This is in the upper room after Jesus had not only resurrected, but after he had already come to visit these men here in the upper room. Verse 21 says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." See the commission? And then in 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know, I believe at this moment, these men received the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Spirit indwelt these men. They were saved. They belonged to God, and now the Spirit resided with them. And from this point on, every individual that was converted or is converted today receives the Holy Ghost. This morning, if you're saved, I ask you a question. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. If you're saved here this morning, the Holy Spirit resides within your heart. And it's based on the promise that God has given, that He would not leave us without a comforter, would not leave us without power. And so the Holy Spirit resided with these men. But as we'll see in Acts chapter 1, the apostles and the first church were waiting to be empowered to do God's work. They were waiting for the power to go out and to witness so that they could see souls saved. Now the work could only be done with the power of God. The Holy Spirit would provide the qualification to do the work. The Holy Spirit would provide the power. And you know what He'd also provide? He would provide assurance as they were working, that they were walking with God, living for God, they were doing things correctly. You see, these men would be receive power to be witnesses. They weren't promised to given power to be popular, power to gain a fortune, power to conquer enemies, or power to take land. They were given power to be witnesses, to take the gospel out. I believe that's the reason why they were called, and I believe that's what they were prepared for. You see, Jesus, for 3 years, He taught these men. 3 years, He took them aside. They followed after Him. They watched Him. They heard Him. And for 3 years, He prepared them so they could take the gospel to the world. He prepared them so they could carry out the work that He started. And they would receive the power to preach and the power to teach the gospel. And they would receive power to endure difficulties in the process. You see, God would provide for them. And this church was to be a witness of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Now the only way to legitimately establish a fact, you're going to go into a courtroom today, the only way you can legitimately establish a fact is to find somebody that can say, "I know it, for I saw it." Now if you can find a witness, that's basically what a witness is. They can say, "I know what took place because I saw what took place." You see, that's what lawyers usually are looking for when they're trying to build a case. They're looking for a witness or witnesses that can back up their case. The believers here in this situation, you know what? They were to tell others about their understanding of Jesus based upon their relationship with Him. That's all it was. They weren't to do anything spectacular. They weren't to go out and do something that was just mind-boggling or amazing. They were to go out and tell others about what Christ had done for them. They were to go out and tell others about their relationship with Christ and their new life and their salvation. And the list can go on and on and on of all the things that God blesses us with. And they were to share that with others. And you know why they were qualified? They were qualified because of their life with Christ. That was their qualification. That was it. Now, Jesus didn't hand out a big ceremony and hand out degrees to the apostles that day. They were already qualified because their life had been changed. They had listened, they had followed, and now God was sending them out. Now today, I believe that our responsibility to spread the gospel is the same. I don't believe it's changed. The commission still remains in effect for God's churches. For Central Baptist Church, that commission is still in effect. We're to take the gospel out. Now, I didn't say we're to have fun. Didn't say we're to entertain ourselves. It didn't say that we're to have fellowship dinners. And a list can go on and on and on of all the activities we can have. Now, There is nothing wrong with some of those things. But if we make those the focus, we've missed the target completely. If that's the case, we need to step back, reevaluate what's going on within our church, and get going again. You see, the focus is taking the gospel out to a lost world so that way sinners could be saved. I don't know about you. I thank God. I thank God that I sat under a preacher that preached the gospel, because I'm saved here today because someone took the gospel out. And I know each of you have your own personal testimony of salvation. But you're saved today because somebody took the gospel out. Somebody chose to either share it with you personally, to share it with you in a classroom setting, or to preach the Word of God. But somebody took the gospel out, so you heard it, and you responded, and today you're saved. How about we continue that and take the gospel out to others? You know, we're to be witnesses of the same saving grace of God. That's what we're to be witnesses of. And you know why we can be witnesses? Because if you're saved here this morning, you've been changed. That's why you can witness. You know, we know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, talks about the new life we have. We're new creatures in Christ. Because you have been saved, you can take the gospel out and you can tell someone else. You can say, hey, guess what? I know what God has done for me. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, He can do the same for you. If you want to have your sins forgiven, here's how. And then share with them what you did. You see, that's all witnessing is. And you know why we're qualified? We're qualified because of our life with Christ. And also look over in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, because of the Spirit. It says there, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. You're saved here this morning, and the Holy Ghost dwells within you. And you can share the gospel of salvation with your friends, with your co-workers, with your classmates, because not only has your life been changed, but you realize the Spirit resides within you. He's the witness. He's the greatest witness there is, that Jesus Christ is God. And so you can share salvation with others so that they can be saved as well. You know what Jesus reminded these men and this church here? He reminded them that the Spirit, when the Spirit would arrive, as far as giving them power, that the Spirit would provide power so they could perform God's work. Now today the Spirit has provided the power. We just need to be faithful in God's work. Now, let's go back to our passage, because I want us to see the great task that this church was given. In verse 8 he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The church was given the Great Commission. The church was promised to receive or to be given the great power to do the work. And now, thirdly this morning, I want you to notice that the church was given a great task. You talk about being challenged. You have these men, according to later in this chapter, about 120 people total in this room. Before, I guess, just a handful of people listening to Christ. And here he tells them, you're going to take the gospel out. Now, had he just said Jerusalem, you would say, okay, that's a good challenge. But then he says, okay, now we're going to go to Judea and then Samaria. And eventually he says, the uttermost part of the earth. Now, these men, I mean, they didn't have Google or Bing or whatever you use to search the internet. They didn't probably have the luxury of being able to say, okay, how big is this world? Maybe it was better that they didn't have an understanding of the size of the world, that they were ready and willing to go out and do God's work. But I want you to notice the progression here. First, they were to witness in Jerusalem. Now, that was the capital city of the nation. And that, at the moment, was where they were residing. That's where they lived. That's where they were. You see, I'm going to tell you something. If we do not take the gospel out where we are, we're not going to take it out anywhere else. You know, there are some people who say, well, if I worked over there, if I lived over there, if I was called to that mission field over there, then guess what? I'd really go out and I'd preach the gospel and I'd tell us. I tell you what, if you're not taking the gospel out where you are right now, there's a good chance wherever God would put you, you probably wouldn't do it. You'd probably continue doing the same thing. We must work where we are. Be a witness to your family. Be a witness to your neighbors. Be a testimony to your co-workers. Invite people to come to Christ now. When you go grocery shopping, wherever you go, be a testimony and be willing to share the gospel with others. See, they were to begin where they were, in the capital city of Jerusalem. Now, this is the city where a majority of the religious, political, governmental, and business leaders resided, as far as the Jews. This was the city where Jesus was crucified, And where he made atonement for sin. So you can be sure right now, a lot of people weren't happy with the Christians or the believers. This is the city where Jesus arose to conquer death and the grave. This is the same city where they fled in fear when Jesus was betrayed. It was the city where Peter denied Christ and where Thomas doubted the resurrected Savior. So they had a lot of problems in this city. And the city here produced fear. We know that they were hiding or they were meeting behind closed doors because of that fear. They had great enemies in this city. But Jesus said, this is where I want you to begin. This is where you need to take the gospel out. So this is the city where they were required to wait and where the Spirit would empower them to do God's work. Now, according to the book of Acts, the apostles remained in this city for about 8 years. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. And I want you to notice a few things. Acts chapter 5. This is basically the apostles on trial here in Jerusalem. In verse 28 it says, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Speaking of Jesus. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Notice the accusation against the apostles here. This is the enemies. This is their enemy speaking. And what do they tell them? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. In other words, you have taken the gospel out. And everyone in this city has heard it. Everyone knows about it. And everyone is aware of what you're doing. How about Central Baptist Church? Have we filled Little Rock with our doctrine? Are we taking the gospel out? See, this is a challenge for us here this morning. Each and every one of us to take the gospel out to the world. And we need to begin where we are. That's what they did. They began where they were. Now, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 tells us many of the priests trusted in Christ, and there were a multitude who believed. So not only did they take the gospel out, God blessed their efforts. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, that's where the persecution really began against the church. That's where Paul went to destroy and to annihilate the church. And the Bible tells us that the disciples began to spread, except the apostles stayed. And if you go all the way to Acts chapter 12, what you find there is that when James was taken, Bible says he was beheaded, and then Peter was taken, and they were going to do the same to him, but God miraculously allowed him to escape. That's when the apostles finally fled the area. They were basically forced out. But for about 8 years there, they stayed through the difficulties, through the trials, through the hardships, and they diligently spread the gospel to the city of Jerusalem. Notice next, we go to Acts chapter 1, he says, not only Jerusalem, but he says, and in all Judea. Now Judea is the region around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city of Judea. So they were to begin in the city, and then you know what to do? They were to spread out. They were to take the gospel out. You see, the circle of work was widening. They were to go further and further with spreading the gospel. Now according to Acts chapter 8, look what it says there. Acts chapter 8 verse 1 says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, speaking of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. But I want you to notice the apostles remained, but notice what the others do. They scattered abroad throughout Judea. They took off. And you know what they did? They took the gospel with them. They didn't leave that behind in Jerusalem. You see, it wasn't just religion. Religion is when you show up at church on Sunday and then Monday through Friday you live how you want. They were changed. They were changed. They had a new life. And I tell you what, Jesus Christ and the gospel of salvation went with them wherever they went this morning. That's how it should be with us. God may call us to a new job. God may even call us to live in a new city or a new area. We shouldn't leave our faith behind if we're truly saved. Our testimony is going to go with us, and we're going to continue to witness where we are because we belong to God and we have been changed, and that's what took place. And they went out to Judea. And the persecution, yes, the persecution is what drove them, but they took the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Then we go back to Acts 1, verse 8. Notice it says, next, he goes, and in Samaria. Now that's the northern part of Israel. I guess at this time, the middle portion of the nation. But you know what? This presented a new situation. And you know why? Because the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't get along. They didn't like each other. Let's just put it that way. We know that Samaria, the city, was established by a king by the name of Omri. And the Bible tells us that this city eventually became filled with idolatry and with sin. And it kind of spread to the region. And the whole area became known as Samaria. Now you go back in your Old Testament, and during the time of Nehemiah, Nehemiah went back to rebuild the city for the Jews. And you know what the Samaritans did? They said, hey, let us help you out. We'll be part of this. And Nehemiah and the Jewish people said, no, you have no part of this. We're doing things right. We're not going to compromise. We're going to do it the way God wants us to do it. Well, that infuriated the Samaritans. And you know what they did? Eventually they established their own place of worship, and they mixed many worldly teachings with God's Word, is what they did. And a deep hatred, and I'm not underestimating this, a deep hatred evolved over the years between the Jews and the Samaritans. And this hatred was present during the time of Christ. They didn't get along. As a matter of fact, for the most part, the Jews despised the Samaritans. They had no dealings with them. If they had to go to Galilee, you know what the Jews would do? They wouldn't go through Samaria. Even though it would take a lot longer, probably cost a lot more money, they would take a longer route to go around Samaria. They wouldn't even go through it because they despised the Samaritans. And now we have our Lord and Savior telling these apostles, who are all Jews, he says, guess what? Next, you must go to Samaria. Now, for some of these men, it may have been a problem. We know some of these men, were before they were saved, were zealots. In other words, they were involved in the political side of as far as their nation. And so for some of them, this man, maybe, what? He wants us to go where? Who do you want us to take the gospel to? You know, these people, we don't even want to sit next to. And you want us to take the gospel to them? Well, I tell you what, they were faithful. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says they went to Samaria. And if you read the rest of that chapter, you know what you also find? Philip went on into Samaria. God blessed his efforts. There were souls saved. Later, John and Peter went on down there to verify the work. And God blessed. You see, they put aside, you know what they did? They put aside their prejudices. And by the way, today many people are still prejudiced towards others, whether it's for race or whether it's for class, because they think someone's a higher class than whatever it is. People can become prejudiced, and believers can fall into that trap. They set those prejudices aside. You know what they did? They took the gospel to the people that God said take it to. And that was to the Samaritans. Now finally, notice what is said next. And we find Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. After Samaria, he says, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wow! That includes everyone, everywhere. You see, they were to preach the gospel to all nationalities and to all classes of people, leaving nobody out. Did you hear that? Everyone should have the opportunity to hear the gospel. They were to go and tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They weren't to pick and to choose who they were going to take it to. They didn't get to pick which nation to go to, which people that they're going to take it to. They were to take it to everyone. They weren't to walk down the neighborhood and say, well, I'm going to tell that person, but I'm not going to tell that one. I don't know about that person. I don't know if I want them in my church. They were to take it to everyone and then allow the Spirit to work and allow God to provide the results. This morning, that's our call as a church. We're to take the gospel to everyone, to those that are hungering for the truth, to those who want to know how their sins can be forgiven and how they can have a real relationship with God. We're to take the gospel to everyone so they could know Jesus Christ. Now, there are two thoughts I'll give to you on this passage real quick. First, the spiritual aspect. Think on this. Jerusalem and Judea. That's the Jewish people. Those were the ones that were given God's Word. They had the Old Testament Scriptures, and they were faithful to it. Then you have Samaria. Think of this. That's the Samaritans. They were the ones that mingled God's Word with the worldly teachings. They were supposed to go to them too. And finally, you have the uttermost part of the earth. That's everyone else. That's those that had little or no knowledge of God, and they were to take the gospel to them. So spiritually speaking, we're to take the gospel to everyone. It doesn't matter if they're religious, if they care less about God, if they're in church on Sunday, if they're not in church. We're to tell them that Jesus Christ will save their soul and that they can have their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ. Now here's the geographical aspect real quick. Jerusalem, that's the city they resided in. Judea, that's the region that the city was located in. Samaria, that's the region right next to them. The uttermost part of the earth would be the world. So they were to widen that circle, and they were to spread the gospel until they reached the world. Now, the apostles had previously been sent out, but they were limited. It tells us in Matthew chapter 10 Jesus says, sent them forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's not because Jesus didn't want them saved. That's because they hadn't yet to been given the commission. They were in training here still. And so he sent them out just to the Jews. But now, he says, guess what? I'm opening it up. You're to take it to all of them. You're ready to go. You have been trained. You're prepared. The Spirit's going to empower you. Now you can do the work that I have for you. You know, it's believed from the Scriptures and from many of the early histories, it's believed that the gospel went pretty much to the world within 30 years. Now, I'm not saying everyone in the world trusted Christ. We know that wasn't the case. But the gospel, there's records of the gospel being taken throughout the world within 30 years of this commission. Now, sit back and think about that for a minute. That's amazing when you stop and think about it. A 30-year period. They took the gospel out. Now, that would be amazing today, I think. That would be amazing today. This was done before the printing press, before radio, before television, and before the internet. This was accomplished without cars, without trucks, without trains, and without airplanes. It was done without leadership manuals, administrative books, entertainment packages, and marketing plans. How, you may ask, did they accomplish this? Of course, we know the Spirit was present, but I believe it was accomplished by their commitment. They were challenged to take the gospel out. They didn't ignore the challenge. It didn't go in one ear, out the other, so to speak. They took it serious. And the Bible tells us that they went out. They went out and they spread the gospel. That's all they did. They didn't have all these human efforts and plans put together so they can evangelize the world today. They simply went out and spread the gospel. You know what they did? They told their family members. They told their friends. They told complete strangers about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's all they did. And though they were discouraged, they continued because they had commitment. And though they were hindered many times, they pressed on because they had commitment. And though they were persecuted greatly, some of them even, they saw some of their friends were put to death, they never quit because of commitment. According to Acts chapter 17, they turned the world upside down. That's commitment. They took the commission serious and they took the gospel out. You know, in closing here this morning, today there are souls without salvation. There are people today that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, have never placed their faith in Christ as their Savior, and because of that, their sins are still with them. They're guilty of their sins. They must be told that there is a Savior. They must be told that there is forgiveness of sin. They must be told that they can have a relationship with God. Perhaps there's one here today that's like that. You know, look around. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. But maybe there's one here today that has never trusted in Christ as their Savior. They have been in church. They have been good. They have perhaps even went and been baptized or went through some of the religious rituals of their church. But you see, salvation is in Jesus Christ. As Peter said, we must be saved. Or whereby there is one, we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. Today, if there is someone here that has never trusted in Christ as your Savior, today's the day you can get that settled. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize your sin will be forgiven? Do you realize that you will be restored? You'll have a new life with Christ. And your eternity will be secure. And it's all because of Jesus Christ and because He died on the cross for your sins. Now this morning, salvation is simple. It hasn't changed since the day that the commission was given. It's simple. Repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. And it must be done from the heart. So I hope and pray everyone here this morning is saved, that you've trusted in Christ. If not, you can get that settled today. You don't have to leave this church without Christ. You can leave knowing that you're saved and that your sins have been forgiven. You know, today, the commission remains the same for God's churches. Today, the commission remains the same for Central Baptist Church. It hasn't changed. God has not given us a new commission. He's not given us something special, or we're not to wait for something new. He has already given us the commission. We're to take the gospel out and continue to take it to a lost world. I'm going to give you two thoughts here as we close. First, the Spirit is still present. You're saved, the Spirit resides within you. Here's my second thought. Is the commitment there? As a church, is the commitment there to take the gospel out? As individuals, is the commitment there to spread the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to invite people to church where they can learn more about Jesus? Is the commitment there to take the gospel out? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings you have provided. I thank you for this passage. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of these men and women that not only received that commission, but were faithful in carrying it out. And I pray today it'll be a reminder to me as a pastor, a reminder to our church of the importance of this commission, the importance of taking the gospel out to a lost world so we can see souls saved and we can see lives changed. I pray today, Lord, that you'll remind all of us of our commitment. Remind us of the importance of this. And I pray today that we'll just, those here that heard this message, that were challenged, I pray they'll respond and that you'll bless us. Please bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart in any way today, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer. You can come to the altars and you can pray to God, or you can pray right where you are. This wasn't what we would typically call a salvation message. But if there is one here today that is unsure of their salvation, or perhaps one here that knows they're not saved, they've never placed their faith in Christ, that can be taken care of. You can be saved today. If you have more questions, please come down and someone can show you from the Bible what it has to say concerning salvation. You know, as a pastor this morning, I ask you, pray for our church. Pray that we will not lose sight of this, and pray that we'll take the gospel to our city, to our region, to our area. Pray that we will continue. Pray that we will see souls saved. Pray that the Spirit will empower us and give us not only the boldness to preach His Word, but also bless us with the fruit